Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Stephanie Zavala, Assistant News Editor.
Jake Rich, Managing Editor.
Welcome back to the newsroom, guys. The people behind the paper.
Three's a crowd.
Three's a crowd.
The dwindling people behind the paper.
You don't want to know what happened to
them. We're all that's left.
We're all that's left. It's like the island. This is what happened when we were on our three-week hiatus. Two-week hiatus, actually. Is that people disappeared. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened to them.
They're just all gone.
All right. Good to know.
Their bodies now that will lie in the chamber forever.
Very nice.
Well, keep going further.
Now that you know that we are not serial mass murderers, we got a lot to talk about this week. We can talk about how UC President Janet Napolitano is virtually murdering students with a tuition increase. Did you see what I did there? You saw what I did there, right?
Yeah, this is... We're walking a fine line here.
Okay, I just did that for the segue purposes.
I know you did.
So UC President Janet Napolitano and the Regents approved a new tuition plan. We'll talk a little bit about that. It may or may not be murdering students. So we will discuss it. Then after that, we will talk about Turkey Day, everyone's favorite holiday, or maybe not. We don't know. We're about to find out. And then Black Friday, everybody's favorite holiday, or maybe not. We don't know. We're about to find out. So it's a lot of interesting stuff this week, but. Obviously, the biggest happening topic has been the tuition proposal and its passage by the UC Board of Regents. This has been all over the UC system mm-hmm. for the past 2 weeks. For those of you who are unaware, basically the plan is touted by UC President Janet Napolitano and the Board of Regents as a stability plan. The idea is that tuition would increase by no more than 5% every year for 5 years. They say that this is a necessary step because the state hasn't funded the UC as much as it should be, and that they want to increase enrollment by 5,000 students. They want to expand course offerings. They want to increase the student-faculty ratio. And so for all that to happen, they need to have this money. Students are, well, I don't know about all students, but there have certainly been a lot of students who have been unhappy with the proposal and have expressed their displeasure by attending the UC Regents meeting in UC San Francisco, where they tried to prevent the Regents from entering the boardroom, and there was a shattered glass door, and I think a UC Berkeley student was arrested.
Yep.
Pretty crazy. You couldn't tell that from the live feed, but it was pretty pretty crazy. Well, actually, you probably could tell from the live feed. There were some points where they were yelling, shame. Did any of you see it? Or
I didn't get a chance to see it. But shame.
Shame.
Yeah. I saw a little bit.
What do you all think of the plan and then the fact that it passed?
Well, it's not good thing. It's not a good thing. I don't know how else to more bluntly phrase it than that. You know, the UC is supposed to I can't verify this statistic, but I just read somewhere, you know, someone said, you know, the UC was for the first 100 years of its existence free.
Yeah, it used to be free.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I don't know for how long that was, but for a very long amount of time, it was free. Now, I'm not saying it necessarily needs to be free, but I'm saying that in like early 2000s, it was like $3,000 or $4,000, and that's not bad at all. I don't know.
I just feel like we're never going to see a tuition decrease. Like, everyone's holding it to its old standard of it used to be free, and it's never going to be there again. My initial reaction to the tuition increase was unsurprised. Like, I met with Janet Napolitano in September, and she was like, yeah, it's going to happen. So she was never like guaranteeing a tuition freeze. This was always one of her plans, and I think she is using it as a political maneuver, and I hope it works out. And in the meantime, students, yeah, it really sucks.
I mean, if we want to get into the political aspects of it, you mean I can go on about this. I'm a political science
Please
major.
Do.
Yes.
But I mean, this is basically a proxy fight between Janet Napolitano and Jerry Brown, basically, who are probably right now the two most powerful Democratic politicians in the state of California. Jerry Brown, because he is now a four-term governor who was just solidly reelected to his fourth term.
Without campaigning.
Without campaigning, like, at all. He spent all his money on Propositions 1 and 2, which passed also by a ton. And so he was just reelected with 60% of the vote. And he's earned law plaudits from newspapers and from tons of people for balancing the budget. Everybody's like saying California is back now. You know, there's a lot of people who may not be saying that that's true, but that's his image. Whereas Janet Napolitano, on the other hand, has had, you know, experience as a Democrat winning in a pretty red state, Arizona. She won election as governor twice there. She's had experience at the federal level as the Department of Homeland Security Secretary for 4 years. So she's got ties with, you know, Barack Obama and the rest of the administration. And to be able to do her political maneuvers, she's pretty wily to be able to get to where she is today. And then what we have now is basically Napolitano trying to push Brown, who Brown does not want to spend more on the UC. He does not. He wants to conserve money. Napolitano is trying to push him to do something that he doesn't want to do. And so she's trying to use everything in her power that she can to make that happen. And I guess we'll see whether or not it's enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had, I think is Abraham Galvan, one of our ACCR members here, Vice President of External Affairs, that said something like, you know, it's Janet Napolitano holding a gun up to the students, looking at Jerry Brown saying, give us more money. And I, you know, obviously the regents have a reason to be upset with the state, but I think the students have a reason to be upset with the regents for holding us, you know, quote unquote hostage, you know, for something that's totally out of our control.
Yeah. At the protest, a lot of people were saying, you know, we're people. Like, we understand the political maneuverings, but we are people. And people are going to have to take out extra loans or make decisions about textbooks that they might not want to buy or, you know, eat less fancy good things.
I read somewhere that that somebody said, I think it was where the student regent is right now.
Sadia Saifuddin.
Yes, her. She said, I'm paraphrasing here, but her quote was something like, you know, it's not just 600 something extra dollars. Mm-hmm. That's rent. That's food. Yeah. That's all that. The dollars just aren't magical things floating in mm-hmm. the air. And it's just, you know, they're concrete things that people have. And like even a small amount will not make it easier on them.
At the regents meeting, I think she gave very powerful testimony to, I mean, the fact that it means some, that even though it's only $600, I mean, only is relative, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about how she had to work four jobs to make ends meet, that she was the first in her family to go to college, and that her, I think her father was paying her way there, and because of tuition increases, like, she had to work extra hard to make sure that happens. And if you're, you know, taking four jobs, or even if you're just working one job, right? If you're even just working one job, how do you focus on your academics, you know, to do well? Like, it gets exponentially harder the more that you do it. And I think the UC has always had this image of accessibility, that it's supposed to be accessible to students. And if, I mean, we know that there's still a significant portion of tuition that's covered for, you know, students who are economically underprivileged. But still, that's a huge sticker price to pay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just recently, I interviewed an old DJ here from KUCR who started, like, back when the station was just starting in the 60s. And me and another person at the station that interviewed him were talking about, you know, just like that it was college, that he had college kind of free to explore his ideas and, you know, do what he wanted. And then he even talked about after college, how he could, you know, hop around a couple jobs and wait maybe like 10 years before settling into a career to find money just because he could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Mm-mm. And one of the things that was, I think, also angered a lot of students was the way that the UCR administration sort of reacted to the tuition proposal, and not just the UCR administration, but UC administration more generally. There were a lot of complaints about not being given enough advance notice, that Janet Napolitano made the plan known to student leaders across the UC about 2 weeks before the regents were set to vote on it. And the very next day, she went to the press with it. And actually, it's kind of funny, is that Jerry Brown, the governor, received even less notice than that. He didn't hear about it from Napolitano. He heard it from the press.
Yeah.
Which is kind of another interesting thing in and of itself. But, I mean, how do you think... I mean, Wilcox expressed, he and the other nine chancellors of all the 10 UC campuses expressed statements of support for the plan. What do you think, how do you think the UCR administration handled the tuition proposal?
As in Wilcox? Mainly?
Wilcox specifically, yeah. But I guess administration people who are in the administration more generally.
I don't think it was done poorly. I just think that there was no way he could have reacted to it that would have made us happy. Because just looking at the footage from the protest, it's like he comes out and he's, okay, I don't mean this to be offensive, but he's like a white man in a suit. And he looks like a politician. And you have these students who are telling you that they're not going to have enough money to buy their books and that they might not be able to go to school anymore. It is infuriating to see a person that you know just got a $20,000 raise. And, like, it's not his fault what the regents have decided. It's not his fault that the regents decided to give him a raise. And he was being paid below market price as a chancellor. But it's just, it's impossible to relate to him as a student. And he's being kind of scapegoated for that.
It's kind of interesting because, I mean, he did mention that he is getting paid less at this job than he was when he was at provost at University of Michigan.
I was going to say that.
And he also did mention that he gave back a lot of his salary to the university. But beyond that, it's interesting that it's a fight that's being picked largely symbolically, right? Because his pay increase at the end of the day, it's not that much. Like, it could go to pay for maybe a couple students' full year's tuition.
Maybe one student.
Right. So it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. But I do think it's interesting that out of all times they could have chosen to give chancellors or administrative raises, they chose basically a month before Janet Napolitano decided to announce that we are going to raise tuition. Like, that just seems to me, to be political malpractice.
Yeah, I was going to say, poor planning.
Yeah, like even if it's not a lot of money, symbolically, why would you want to send that message out to the student population?
Because no matter what the facts of it are, it appears as a pretty clear message to students, like, what they care about. Whether... You know, I don't know what's going on in Napolitano's mind or the real, like, tiny maneuvers behind it. But, and I think even if you are aware that, you know, that it can only pay for one student's tuition or whatever, it's still just like, oh my gosh, like, you're doing what? You know? And I think the only thing that Wilcox could have said out at that protest that they would have been okay with was, I fully do not support the tuition increase, and
I resign as chancellor, and I will now live in a simple hut with you guys.
Well, I was going to say, give away my raise. I take back my raise, but yes, basically.
Because there was really nothing he could have said. And Napolitano said that the raises for the chancellor was just because they were looking into hiring a new chancellor for UC Irvine. And they were like, oh, we need to increase the pay for this person. And then they decided to increase the pay for a couple of other chancellors. Like,
it's important to note that these were the lowest paid chancellors out of all of the UC system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just, it just happened. It wasn't done politically, which is a mistake, maybe.
Do you think that there is any way that President Napolitano and, I guess, the UCR could have presented a tuition increase in a way that students would have accepted? Do you think that there's a way that they could have presented it, or something that they could have done in advance to say that to students, on the large part, that yes, this is really the only choice that we have.
Barring, like, we will increase tuition in 10 years, then I think maybe we would have had a more subdued reaction. No, I don't think there was any way. Money is money. That's the core of the college student.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to say something like, you know, presenting themselves as super desperate or something like that.
But they are doing that.
But isn't that what they're doing? And isn't that the same thing as them holding us hostage?
Yeah.
This is just, it's just not a good situation, period.
Yeah, they could have done things a lot worse. Like, Napolitano could have been like, yeah, I need a new yacht. The old one's getting rusty. I don't know.
The old one's about a year old. I need a new one now. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not just UCR that's upset about it. There were a lot of UCs, like, throughout the UC system that did protests, too. But mm-hmm. UCR did a sit-in in Hinderacher Hall. And the interesting thing about that was that it was entirely unplanned.
Yeah, that was...
It just sort of happened. After, I think, they went to Hinderacher Hall, Wilcox spoke. He was heckled, so he went back inside because he said he wasn't going to have a dialogue with students who were yelling at him. Which, I mean, in my mind, that's a rational decision, mm-hmm. even though at the time it... looked really, really bad. It didn't look good. So then they went in and they occupied the fourth floor of Hinderacher Hall.
Like 7 hours?
7 hours. They left at 7:45.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And they called the UCPD in around 5 p.m. And
because that's when the building closes.
Because that's when the building closes. And they said that any students in there afterward would be trespassing, and that if they stayed, the administration granted them, I say that in quotes, of course, an extension until 9 p.m. to leave. And so they did leave before 9 p.m., so nobody was arrested.
I think they left about 7:45.
7:45, yeah. So if they stayed in to that point, though, then they would have been arrested. Do you think that's... fair when it comes to the use of the UCPD, or do you think the administration had a choice?
For a sit-in in Hinderacher to have arrested them? I don't think that's really fair. And they didn't. Like, I wasn't there, so reading over the reports of what happened, I was kind of proud of UCR. Like, the UCPD, I think, handled everything well. The students handled everything well. And staying for 7 hours, like, that's showing that it's commitment. Important to you, but they're not, like, looting anything. So it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think there was a quote. I don't know if it was in our paper or somewhere else I saw it, but I think John Fries, what's his official position?
I think he's the assistant.
Assistant chief of police.
Chief of police, yeah.
Well, he said something like,
they conducted themselves.
Well, yeah, he said that, but he said something like, we recognize the need to allow for protest.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good quote.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he meant it?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I like to think he does, because I like to think that police sometimes, you know, they actually are their own thinking people inside, even though when this sounds really bad, but when they're, you know, being told to do things and they're on duty, they have, you know, they're human beings. They know what's going on, and they were that age at one point too, or, you know, in that kind of situation. So I like to think he meant it, but like Stephanie said, it doesn't matter whether he meant it or not. It needed to be said for good conduct.
And, I mean, if that's a point in the administration's favor, then probably also was Chancellor Wilcox having a town hall afterward on Friday, where basically it was an apology tour, where he just, like, explained what his motivations were for supporting the plan. A bunch of students yelled at him, and he said sorry several times after being heckled and after being pressured to say sorry. And that's probably the best he could have done with the way that things unfolded. But, I mean, I definitely think that he probably could have held a town hall with students before the vote by the regents.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Because he did hold it after. So that probably would have been good for him to do instead. And I guess involve students more in the whole debate over the tuition just in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it could have been worse. He could have been like, I'm going on vacation now. See you in 3 weeks when this blows over.
Yeah. YOLO. But,
yeah, he like walked out there and he allowed himself to be yelled at. I mean,
that is
takes,
something.
That takes guts.
Yeah, it does.
I'm honestly still shocked that he even came out. I was not expecting him to come out at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he comes out unscathed. I don't think he came out looking well after all this. But I do say that it does take guts for him to come out in the first place. I mean, I'm not saying that like I agree with his decisions or that I think that he made the right decisions all the time, but I do think that to come out and speak with students knowing basically that you're going to get yelled at, that's something that not everybody likes to do.
Yeah.
But it's certainly true that the conversations over tuition are going to be continuing for a long time.
Probably. Oh, yes.
There was a call-in.
Today. Or yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Or Monday.
Monday, which is yesterday.
Which will be yesterday.
Which will be the day
yesterday.
Before yesterday.
Yes.
Time. So the call-in was to call Wilcox and the Regents and tell them. There was actually a script posted on Facebook to say, hi, my name is blah, I'm this major, and I would like you to reconsider your position on the tuition hikes.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe state funding will increase after this and there will be no tuition increases. I personally think, knowing Jerry Brown, well, I don't know him personally, but knowing the kind of politician he seems to be, I don't think there are going to be any huge state increases in funding for the UC. I think tuition increases for students are basically all but inevitable at this point.
Jerry Brown, if you are in range of Riverside right now, you should change your position.
Yeah. Or would that be giving into the demands by the hostage takers?
I don't think... I think, as evidenced in our recent editorial, that if he did that, that would be a good thing, even though the hostage situation... I feel like I'm being very dramatic for calling it a hostage situation. But even though that situation exists, him funding things would still negate the tuition increase, which is the ultimate goal, right? Right? It's actually, I think, the ultimate goal is to lower tuition again. But, you know.
As Janet Napolitano said, I don't think so. So, on that note, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM or
KUCR.org or an iPhone app KUCR or on your Android TuneIn Radio.
A lot of options, guys.
Yes.
Now, there's also a lot of options for what you can do for Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm trying out these segues, seeing how they work.
Your segues are an art.
Thank you. Speaking of art, that's one thing
your
that you could do.
Your segues let you roll around on two wheels.
You could also do that during your Thanksgiving, yes. you'd kind of look like a doofus, but
yes.
You could try it. I've never actually ridden a Segway. Have either of you?
No.
Estefania?
I hope not.
We just went from astute political conversation to talking about goofy Segways and halt.
I like, okay, so the secret like dark part inside of me actually wants to ride a Segway once in my life.
Yeah.
Like, see what it's like and see how like doofy I look.
I think it'd be kind of fun.
I wouldn't want to own one, but I would like to see what it's like.
I think a lot of things in
don't
my
judge
life
me.
Would have to fall apart before I would do that.
Well, hopefully nothing's going to fall apart in your life during Thanksgiving, because it's
for
the time.
Delicious turkey meat.
Except for delicious turkey. So I know a lot of students are getting out of town early to go home. Does anybody have any interesting Thanksgiving plans?
No.
Well then.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
I will be writing a project, hopefully, and drinking a lot of coffee and watching TV.
That sounds wonderfully vague.
I'm very against Thanksgiving. I just think like it's all of the boring parts of Halloween. It's like Halloween's revenge. Because like Halloween is like dessert, right? You're there, you're eating candy, you're having fun, you're going to parties, and Thanksgiving is like, now hang out with your parents and have some vegetables
and have turkey and pumpkin pie and all those other delicious things.
Didn't you just argue in favor of pumpkin like the pumpkin spice.
Uh-huh.
Like, I strongly believe that pumpkin pie is the lowest form of pumpkin spice.
Oh.
So I'm calling off this conversation before it even begins right now.
Okay. That's a good idea.
We don't want any blood shed here on the Highlander newsroom, because that would be a lot of paperwork I would have to fill out. But
so love.
I personally like spending time with my family at Thanksgiving, unlike some other heartless individuals here.
I like spending time with my family.
What about cousins and stuff, too?
Not right. At Thanksgiving.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just, I don't know if it's like a cultural thing that my family's like never gotten Thanksgiving right. Like, they're just like, oh, we're going to make this turkey, but we put pineapple on it. And here's some salsa and here's some tortillas. That's it. Also, it's 12. In the day, and yeah. you're not gonna have any dinner. This is it. Bye.
Well, we just all get around and eat, and well, obviously, just talk. But then we have a tradition, which for me, going home for Thanksgiving involves going to or staying in Riverside. I live in Corona, but I'm going to be in Thanksgiving in Riverside. But we always go to a movie afterwards. So that's
what movie are you seeing this year?
It's been divided in years past, but this year we're all going to see Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
Which, when I saw the trailers for it, I didn't think it looked that good, but I've heard good reviews. So.
Yeah, it's pretty up there is from what I've heard.
Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of, like, marshmallows, like, my favorite food for Thanksgiving are a certain kind of,
Yam?
No, not yam. Sweet potatoes. There is a difference. Yes. Don't look like that.
No, I love sweet potatoes.
Oh, awesome.
They are amazing.
Yeah, sweet potatoes. It's like they're like
sweet potatoes fries.
Well, sweet potato fries are okay, but these are sweet potatoes, and there's like a sweet sauce on them, and they have like marshmallows that are in the oven, so like they're baked, and the marshmallows have like little burnt edges on them.
You better bring leftovers.
They're super sweet, but they're delicious. And no, I will not bring leftovers because I will eat them all, and they are all mine.
You should make extra.
No. Actually, I don't make them. It's my family.
You should learn how to make them.
Yes.
And bring extra.
That is my goal, but Colin's no, still
family,
not bringing extra.
If you are listening, we are very interested.
Yes.
What about you guys? What's your favorite Thanksgiving meal? Although, except for Estefania, who apparently just has vegetables and tortillas.
Okay. Like, it's boring. Oh, no, you know what? Okay, I was going
to
say turkey, but my dad makes really, really, really good mashed potatoes that are really buttery. And really, really, really delicious.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and pumpkin pie.
This further confirms the hesitation here further confirms my belief that you have nothing interesting to eat at Thanksgiving. And you're a sad, sad individual.
I have suggested many times to my mom that we just ditch the turkey and, like, eat pancakes and make eggs.
Not
so bad. Giving, right? Right?
That Everyone would be a lot more something to give
start
thanks for.
This. Hashtag breakfast giving.
Breakfast giving.
And she has openly laughed in my face many times. I think one year she made flan, which she makes sometimes, and that was really good, and I ate basically the whole thing, and then I felt sick. So, that's the highlights.
Yay. I know that for me, usually it's just a fun time where we get together. I don't usually get to, because it's all of our like extended family, and they all live in the Southern California area, so we just all like get together, have fun. I get to be tackled to the ground by small siblings. Yeah, that's very entertaining for people who are not me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we start getting into incredibly divisive commentary here, I am going to call this right now. This has been the Highlander Newsroom. Thank you, everybody, for listening. The Highlander Newsroom is a co-production of The Highlander and KUCR 88.3 FM. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, The Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Jake Rich.
Stuff your faces and get really full. You'll feel good.
Until you throw up.
Don't do that.
Stuff the face until you throw up.
Don't throw up.
Don't throw up. Okay. Estefania Zavala?
You don't have to have a happy holiday if you don't want to.
That's right. It's a free country. Have a sad holiday if you want to. Thank you, everybody, for listening. join us again next week for the Highlander Newsroom.